Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Leviticus. And in that reading of Song of Solomon, I hope that you saw Christ and his love for his bride, the church. Mother's Day. This is not the sermon we had picked out. Pastor Tim is sick. So I am pinch hitting today. But I do think that Mother's Day is a wonderful time for us to, as the sermon title says, honor women and mothers. And so, ladies, happy Mother's Day. We appreciate you. You are a special gift from God to us. Unfortunately, not everybody thinks that way. The role of women and mothers is under attack, has been under attack for some time. That attack is deliberate. It is not accidental. It's not just evil people. It is evil people under control of demonic forces, seeking to destroy that which God has created, which is the role of the woman as wife and mother. Why would people do that? A, there is no belief in God, therefore there is no value system which values the sexes. Therefore there's no value for the female, the woman. And that is a direct attack upon God and His creation. You know, people say, well, Jesus didn't talk about homosexuality or other things like that. So therefore, by His absence of speaking about it, He must be giving approval for it. I say that is wicked. The Son of God, when He was on earth, did address that issue. And He addressed it very clearly, stating that there are only two sexes, male and female. And you don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9, we read this: but from the beginning, Jesus said, beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, again, emphasizing the two roles, the two sexes, father and mother, hold fast to his wife, the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Stand with me and turn to Leviticus chapter 19. I just want to read three verses for you. Leviticus 19, 1-3, just as a kind of a springboard into our discussion this morning, the sermon. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. You can be seated. Don't you find it interesting in that text that the very first commandment that God gives to the people of Israel after He says, you are to be holy as I am holy, is about honoring the relationship that a child has to mother and father? What's it mean to honor? We have lost, I think, in our world, we've lost the sense of what honor really is. Honor is a word that means to value or set a price on something. To value or to set a price. What that honor looks like is based upon the value that we set upon the other person. or upon that object, or upon the Lord. We will behave in such a way, we'll respond in such a way, we will interact in such a way that is an indicator of the value or the honor that we've placed upon that entity, whether it is God, others, or objects. We find in God's Word that God condemns those who devalue their mother or father. There's a condemnation that comes with devaluing father or mother. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. It's just a fact of living in a sin-cursed world. You're going to run across people who despise their parents. And you might say, well, some of those parents aren't worthy of honor. That is not what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures talk about honoring them. You honor the position. You honor who they are as God's creation in your life. Proverbs 19:26 says, he who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. So throughout Scripture, you'll find this principle that the rejection of parental authority and the despising of parental authority, in particular godly parental authority, will always bring condemnation from God. It doesn't matter even how religious you are. The Pharisees were very religious, and Jesus condemned them. He condemned the Pharisees for robbing their parents. Mark chapter 7. Turn there with me, please. Mark 7. Verses 8 to 13. Jesus talking to the Pharisees, he says, you leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. That statement alone says, you can't place man's opinion over God's commands. It doesn't matter what people think. The issue is, what did God command? And God commanded, honor your father and your mother. Verse 9, he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God as an offering, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And so, and many such things, excuse me, allergies. Any of you suffer with allergies? Yeah. I feel your pain. God's Word always values His pinnacle of creation, which is the man and the woman. Throughout Scripture, He places a high value on that pinnacle of creation, which is the man and woman. And in society, you'll find that godless society will always seek to devalue God's pinnacle of creation. Because Satan hates God and wants to destroy God's image, which is us. We are the reflection of God. We're the image of God. And any perversion of that image is a satanic attack on the very glory of God. God shows how righteous women are honored. He shows how righteous women are honored in Scripture. There's a book called Ruth. Turn back to the book of Ruth with me, please. We're going to go look at chapter 4. But let me give you a kind of a synopsis of this, a rundown of this book. It's set in the time of the judges. That's why it's placed where it's placed in the Scriptures. Set in the time of the judges, the key theme through the book of the judges is there was no king, so every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's the principle that runs through the book of Judges. During that time, there was a famine. A man and wife take their sons. They go to a foreign country. While in that foreign country, the man dies. The husbands marry foreign daughters, Moabite daughters. The sons die. And we find that this tragedy runs through the book of Ruth. And if you look back at chapter 1, you find that Naomi changes her name. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Her life turned bitter from the promise of security in a land where there wasn't a famine. Her husband dies. Her sons die. She's left with two daughters-in-law. She tells them to go back because they're young and marry men of their own religion. And the first one rejects. Ruth does not reject. But she clings to Naomi and says, "Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." She honors her mother-in-law. Along the way, they are still in the possibility of starving to death. They go back, and Naomi sends Ruth into a random field to pick along the fringes of the field to get some food, some wheat. While she's there, you remember reading the story. If you haven't read it, it's only four chapters. You can read it. The kinsman redeemer comes along, Boaz. And he notices who she is. And he says, "Who is the woman?" And they say, "She is Ruth, the Moabitess, who left her family and came with Naomi." And she finds favor in his eyes. And he chooses to give her blessing. And he lets her not only glean along the edges, but right out of the sheaves that the reapers have put together. And then not only that, one night he gives her a whole bunch of more wheat. And he goes and he seeks her redemption. And we find this in chapter 4 as the closer redeemer chooses not to redeem. And in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, read these words. "Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses.'" Now notice in this, all the honor to women. Okay? "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem." Prophecy there. "And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." God's always honored faithful women. He's always honored those women who are committed to Him and who are loving Him and who are raising offspring for Him. Now, Don't freak out about, well, I don't have children. We'll get to that. The word honor is a verb. It's a verb. And it indicates that action is involved. So that's what verbs do, right? They carry action with them. So in order to honor someone, there has to be activity. What does it mean? It means to do acts of love that show you value the other person. Doing acts of love that show you value the other person. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barn will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. In order to honor the Lord, it takes activity. It's not just words. It's activity. You have to do something that demonstrates your honoring of the Lord. You don't do this to get God's favor. You do the honoring of God because you love Him for what He's done for you. What's one way the Scriptures say in this particular text that you can honor the Lord? Be a giver rather than a taker. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Honor the Lord there. Be a giver. That's activity. Just by way of information, in case you don't know why we don't take an offering, we have offering boxes back there. We have online offering, and you can mail in a check. Or you can give it to Patty personally or to one of the elders and we'll give it to Patty. We don't want to deprive you of the privilege of giving. And I don't say that in a funny way. It is a privilege. It's one way we can show honor to God. Nice words are good. No parent wants bad words from their kids. No wife wants bad words from her husband. Nice words are good. But real honor is active. Real honor is active. Mark 7, verse 6, he said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Do those acts of kindness to the women in your lives that will show them that you care. Don't just use words. Do use words, but don't just limit it to words. Do actions that show you care. God values spiritual and biological mothers greatly. He values spiritual and biological mothers greatly. Genesis 3:20 shows that the world through a woman, it was through a woman that the earth was populated. Adam could not populate the world by himself. Could not do it. Genesis 3:20. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. We are all descendants from one set of parents. Wherever you go around the earth, no matter where you go, if you're speaking to a human being, you're speaking to a descendant from Adam and Eve. And according to our text, you're speaking to a descendant of Eve. That's a great honor. Israel, what about Israel? Israel became a nation through its mother, Sarah. So you've got all the nations of the world, and out of all the nations of the world, God picks one couple, a man and a woman, that will populate a brand new nation called Israel. Genesis 17:15-16 says, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Sarah is the mother of the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. Spiritually, there are also mothers in Israel. Israel was saved through its mother, Deborah. Deborah was a prophetess in a time when there weren't men to step up. For whatever reason, they didn't step up. Barak is the leader of the army, and he was not brave enough to go into battle by himself. And so Deborah says, I'll go with you, but the honor will be given to a woman. And that day, a woman named Jael killed the leader, the commander of the enemy, and she gets the praise for the victory. Again, God honors faithful women. Deborah became the mother of the people of Israel in a sense of giving them the rebirth as a nation from being under the thumb of a foreign government to now being victorious and having freedom. In Judges 5:7, we find these words, the villagers ceased in Israel. This is part of her song. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. Spiritual mothers are important. Spiritual mothers train mothers and daughters or sons and daughters to be godly. Spiritual mothers come alongside and share Christ with lost people and show them how to trust in the Lord and why they need to trust in the Lord. Spiritual mothers are important. We must not ever minimize the role of godly women in the church, whether they have their own children or do not. They have a vital role in the church, whether they can produce biological children or spiritual children, coming alongside and ministering to people. It was through a woman that the Messiah was born. You remember when Jesus was coming in on the Palm Sunday, and the Pharisees want him to quiet the crowd down, and he says that God could raise up from these stones children of Abraham to praise him. God could have just inserted Jesus into the earth, but it would not have accomplished his purpose because Jesus had to be born a human. And the only way that would happen is through a woman. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." I find it interesting and grievous that certain people in our world can't define a woman. That's evil. A woman is God's beautiful counterpart to the man. It's his purpose to place a woman in the life of men. Now, there is the gift of singleness. I get that. But still, single women are needed. We must not devalue the role of women in the church, in the world, in society. The Virgin Mary was a woman, and only a woman could give birth to the Messiah. When we value women, We have to come to the place, and value mothers, we have to come to a place where we understand that there is blessing and there is curse. And God lays out both. There's either a blessing or the curse for every child. God places a curse on those who dishonor their mothers. There's a curse there. Understand, this is a principle, not a hard and fast promise. You'll see when we read the verse. Proverbs 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be plucked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures." That is a principle, not a promise. Okay? Disobedient children don't need to walk down the street looking up, waiting for the vultures to pluck their eyes out. It's a principle. The principle is there's a curse that comes for those who disregard the value of their parents, particularly in our case today, the mother. Again, another principle, Proverbs 20, verse 20. "If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness." Leviticus 20, verse 9. "For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall be put to death." This is what should have happened in the people of Israel. "He shall be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him." God holds the parental relationship of husband, wife, father, mother very highly. And he expects those under that, which would be the children in the home, to value it as highly as he does. And the principle is that those who choose, particularly in a godly home, this was to the nation of Israel, particularly in a godly home, when a child disregards and despises the godly instruction of father or mother, that child runs a higher risk of meeting a tragic end. Could be through drugs. Could be by hanging out with the wrong crowd and getting involved in violence. It could be through many other things, diseases that one picks up along the way from illicit behavior. Could be any number of things, but the fact is that involvement in that which despises father and mother leads one to a higher risk of a tragic end. There are cases where it doesn't. And thank God, for many, there's redemption. There's salvation. There's regeneration through faith in Jesus Christ. But the scars of that rebellion can be carried throughout life. However, there's blessing for those who honor their mothers. There's blessing. Exodus 20, verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Again, principle, not absolute promise. The principle is that those who honor their parents tend to live longer lives and have less drama and tragedy in their lives. Principle, not promise. A lot of Christians go through some very difficult things, not of their own making. But the principle is, you're a lot better off by doing what God says than rebelling against what God says. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Again, principle. It's so important that Paul even brings it in the New Testament from the Old as one of the things that God wants young people to understand, is that honoring father and mother, obeying mom and dad, is a vital part of living a responsible life of blessing on this earth. And living in a society that devalues women and devalues mothers is leading to tragedy over and over and over again. Honor for women and mothers must begin in the home. It's got to begin in the home. We can't expect a world that denies God to continue to honor mother and father. It's got to continue in the Christian home. The husband is at the head of that honoring. A husband must show honor to his wife. Again, honor is active. It's a verb. A man must not just tell his wife he loves her. He must show her that he loves her. How does he do that? In a multitude of ways. One is not being critical, but saying positive things. A husband's got to show honor to his wife. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. There will be days you'll say, I don't understand. Welcome to marriage. You're not going to understand. But do your best. Pray a lot. Read the scriptures. Live with your wife in an understanding way. Show honor. Again, verb, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. This is not a downgrade of women. This is just a natural fact of the biological difference between a man and a woman. Well, how do you know? The worst swimmer on a team can beat the best woman on the woman's team. That's how we know. Why? Men are made different. They're stronger, and they die sooner. Be happy for how God made you. We burn out faster as men. You've seen on YouTube or whatever why men don't live very long. There's a whole bunch of them. Dude on an extension ladder in the back of a pickup truck with a chainsaw up the tree. This is why men don't live long. Just our testosterone gets the best of us and we lose our common sense. That's why God put women in their life, to tell them, what in the world are you doing? Get down off of there. I mean, think about it. We're different. Show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. And remember this, as Christians, they are heirs with you. Common heirs, co-heirs, equal at the foot of the cross with you in the grace of life. Why? So that your prayers will not be hindered. Bitterness in a marriage destroys prayer lives. Bitterness in a marriage will destroy a prayer life. Honoring mom has to start in the home. Honoring a wife and mother must become the habit of the home of Christians, and particularly as the husband shows honor to the wife, seeks to be a helper to her. Remember, she was created to be his helper, but he can still help her. And as a result, he can show children what it means to honor wife and mother. Again, Ephesians 6:1-2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So basics here, not in your notes, but you can write it down. And if you've been at this church for a while, you already know them. Use respectful words to show honor. What respectful words? They're really tough, but put them in your memory bank. Please. Thank you. I don't know why they're so hard for us as humans. Please and thank you go a long ways. And then, children, I realize they're downstairs, but we're going to say it anyways because there might be parents with kids listening online. Don't demand stuff from your parents. Learn to take no for an answer. Can I do this? No. That should be the end of it. The next phrase out of your mouth should not start with why. Just drop it. So use respectful words to show honor. And second, obey. Obey. What is obedience? We got to go back to basics. What is obedience? Obedience is not delayed. Obedience is immediate. It's not partial. It's complete. And it's cheerful. It's not sloughing off, humped shoulders, mumbling to yourself while you're maybe doing a halfway job on the task that they've given you. It's immediate, complete, and cheerful. So why focus all this on Mother's Day? Well, it's a great opportunity. But understand, it all points us back to Christ. If you have trouble honoring the family system and the women that God put in your life, if you have trouble honoring them, you're going to have a real hard time honoring the Lord who created them. God values women so much that He created the exact corresponding human to that's who they are. They're the exact corresponding human to the man. They're exactly how God wanted them to be for them to fit with the man. God created the man. He made a corresponding woman. They fit together. Nothing else will. That's just how it is. Well, I don't like it. Too bad. And we need to value women. We need to value mothers. We do that, by the way. We value women. We value mothers. And how do you know? You can go around the world and look at any wedding ceremony. And the wife is dressed. I mean, she is dressed up fancy and beautiful to be given to the husband. Wherever you go in the world, you see this. It's the woman that is dressed up, and she has made herself beautiful to give to the man. We value the woman. Anywhere you go, there's that value system. And we see it. And I've performed enough weddings where the man is standing down here and he's all weepy when he sees his wife to be at the doors waiting to come in. By the way, what a beautiful picture of Christ in the church. Man, what a beautiful picture. God values women. God loves His Son. And chose to refer to the church as the bride of Christ. God didn't give His Son another husband. He gave Him a wife called the bride of Christ. Notice how Christ, in the book of Revelation, notice how Christ refers to His bride and the honor He places on her. So if you men want to know how, and kids at home want to know how to respond to mom, want to know how to respond to wife, look how Jesus responds to His bride in the book of Revelation. Revelation 19, verses 6 to 10. Notice the honor that is given here. And what a beautiful picture is portrayed by the words of sacred Scripture. Revelation 19, 6 through 10. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the words of God, the true words of God. Then I fell down at my feet to worship him. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There is a day coming when the bride of Christ around the world, all those from the time past to the time future when Christ comes, who are in Christ, will be gathered together in one place, beautifully arrayed, to be given to the Son. We are the bride. And the clothing that we wear, because we are in Christ, the clothing that we wear are our righteous deeds. That is why it is important for believers to live holy lives. Because that's what we will wear. It's not our salvation, but it's what we wear at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Look also at Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verses 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. There's a couple things in there that we need to notice about the bride. Because the human marriage that God created is simply a picture of that spiritual relationship that all believers have with their eternal husband, Christ. Jesus sent his angel to testify, verse 16 again, about these things for the churches. But notice the responsibility. What are these righteous deeds we're to perform? Here's a couple of them. Verse 17. In the end, get it, in the whole salvation process, regeneration, the calling of people to faith, we find that it is the responsibility of two entities, the Spirit and the bride. It is the responsibility of the bride of Christ, the church, to hold out the gospel to unbelievers who need Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God works through the preaching of the Word of God in the heart of unbelievers to draw them to Himself. Because that's what Scripture says. The Spirit and the bride say, come. In the home, mom generally has the greater portion of teaching the children. And her message to her children ought to always be, come. Come to the Lord. Come to salvation. Let the Spirit of God work. Don't manipulate them, but say to them over and over, come. Come to Jesus. Mother's Day is a wonderful day that we can value highly with words, women and mothers. But more importantly, it's a day when we remember that God is the creator of women. He made you who you are, as a man, as a woman, and He created you for the other. And He did that as a picture of Christ and his church. If you're not in Christ, if you've never trusted in Jesus, I would encourage you this day, trust in him. Become a part of the bride of Christ and that wonderful celebration that will come in the end when we sit down with our Lord at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Would you stand with me and we'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the fact that you created them, male and female. And that throughout history, you have raised up godly women as examples of what it means to serve you. And that even you chose a virgin girl, a woman, to be the mother of Jesus Christ, God with flesh. May we honor you this day as we honor women and mothers. And may we please you by loving them as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. So thank you, Father, for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the Word of God that instructs us and the Spirit of God that applies it to our hearts. And may we honor you this day, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day, ladies.